for those that are having a hard time and can't figure out what's next, and asking and wondering why and how and all the reasonings that happen in a mind. We're trusting you, Holy Spirit, to just flood us with your grace and your favor for tonight, to give us understanding of how much love we really have, not only for each other, but for ourselves, and how we can clothe ourselves with this kind of love that only comes from you. Not the love that we understand in the carnal understanding, but the love that comes from you, which is so unconditional, so intense, so out of this realm that we can't understand it. But more than anything else, we ask that you would just pour it out tonight. Pour out that love from heaven, that unconditional love that floods every heart, breaking down the war games in the mind, breaking down the anointing of darkness and death that has tried so hard to rule. And I remind myself, Lord, that you have declared that we are instruments of resurrection. We are the sons and daughters of resurrection. We are living in the heavens, not in the earth. But most of the time, we're just totally, totally overwhelmed because of the darkness that tries to swallow us up. But tonight, Lord, your blood covering is over each and every one of us, including those that are not connected right now, those that are struggling, those that are wondering, oh my God, where are you? And Father, I ask that you would bind the strong man that has tried so hard to destroy this house of prayer. I thank you for the blood covering that has made and kept us safe. Yes, it has made and kept us safe. And we are your remnant, Lord. We are what we call leftovers. But Father, I thank you that you are honoring our ability to stay firm, to hold on to each other, and to stay focused on your love and not on ourselves. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
I have one verse that came early this morning, and that's where he told me to go to, so we're going on a little journey together. To the book of Colossians, letter from St. Paul to the Colossians. We're going to be looking at chapter 3. The heading for Colossians chapter 3 says, Rules for Holy Living. Now, most of the people that I know focus on the rules for holy living, and they use the law as the standard. St. Paul certainly was brought up with the law. But in verse 14, he says, over all these virtues, put on love. So the virtues that he's speaking of are visible in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Well, patience is not one of my biggest virtues, but I am developing it because I'm walking in a place where I've never walked before. This recovery process from the pain in my body focused really on my right arm and into my back and into my chest has produce some perseverance to hold on with patience. It's about 5 weeks now, and I'd like it to be done. But since it's not done, I keep asking God for grace to carry on to the next level. Then it says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Well, that's a tall order for some, and especially when you're judging yourself. And reminding yourself, whatever grievances you may have against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So the love is the glue that keeps it all functioning. I want to back it up because I can tell you that most teachers on this particular chapter would be focused on the beginning of this chapter. Verse 1 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated and at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now that appearing is not his second coming. It is part of him becoming alive in each and every one of us. When they begin to see Christ in you and me, that's the beginning of the glory that will radiate in the earth. His second coming is when his bride has made herself ready. A lot of people think they're going to be a part of the bride without the works program of submission for house cleaning. I've been studying a little bit more of The Thrones of the Soul by Paul Keith. And he said the same thing. We're so focused on religious upbringing and a religious walk that we forget who we are, what he's already created us to become. So he's making it clear here. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Well, if you're like me, you're living in the earth, your feeling, your emotions, your everyday activity is earthly. So who takes over? The earthly part of me and you, which is the will, the emotions, and the mind, which is your soul. But he's declaring here that we're seated with our Lord. We're not to be focused 100% on the everyday lifestyle that we continue to go on and live by. So I want to back that up to verse 1 again. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Doesn't say will be raised. You have been raised. It's a reality. Set your hearts on things above. Well, I don't do well with that when everything is falling apart. My body's hurting. My focus is, how do I get rid of the pain? Can I get back to sleep? Irritations come. Telephones ring. Problems happen. I don't feel like I'm seated with him. My emotions are not on where I should be, according to this direction. But I cry out for grace every step of the way. So, verse 2 again, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Well, if you're like me, it doesn't like dying. It has resurrection power. The flesh and the body, the soul, resurrects when you least expect it. So, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Well, that tells you that there's hope for us. Because these people in Colossae had a background, but they weren't living in it anymore. The Holy Spirit had come. Well, the Holy Spirit has come for us as well. Verse 8. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Well, if you're like me, you find that when old patterns are happening, and someone shows up at your circumstance and they're not happy, and you end up agreeing with their emotions, you're going back into ways of the natural, and you're not really staying in the heavenly realm. And I find that if I don't spend quality time with the Lord to get the beginning of my day focused on him, the rest of the day usually is very difficult. Then he says in verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of its creator. That's the cool part. When we have the attributes of the Holy Spirit working through us, we are actually aware of the love that the Creator had for us, the love that he pours into us, and then to pour it out to others that may not be in a happy space like you are, maybe. Verse 11 says, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythians, slaves or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So the anointing is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Learning to be patient with my circumstance. Learning to be patient with someone that's unruly or not doing it my way. Learning to give grace where you may not, let's say, be happy about the circumstances that are going on. You put it on by choice. When I put on this outfit tonight, I had to go move my car. I put it on and I kept it on because there was a press. And it was to realize that I can take it off. But if I put it on, I'm keeping the warmth on the inside. I'm also taking a picture of myself saying, can I put on compassion? Can I put on kindness when I feel like teaching somebody a lesson? Can I be humble and stop teaching and be an example? Can I give out gentleness instead of the law and all of its commandments to straighten out somebody? And they may need it, but you may not be the instrument. You might need to be an instrument of love so that they can reach out to the Christ in you rather than the legal aspects of the law. Jesus already took that law and he laid it on himself. And he gave us a better law, the law of love, which I believe he's trying to give us today an awareness of how important it is to be loving when there is someone next to you that's having a hard time. Someone next to you that is saying, oh, I don't know if I can do this. Well, they might just be looking at you as the one that might create a hunger for Jesus, because they know already your tag. They already know you're a believer. You don't need to advertise. Just by the way you act and react, they know that. But they can be in despair. They can be in anger. And if they are in that space, if you join them there and agree with what's going on, you're going to fail. You're going to come out from that heavenly seating place where Christ is. You're actually going to be back into the earth, into the earthly realm of thinking. And it will bring them down, and you will not be the epistle that you've been called to be. Put on kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. Put it on like you put on a sweat jacket, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one holy body or one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in words or deeds, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The rest are instructions that can be applied if you're in a marriage situation. And I don't want to go there right now. But I want to remind you that these are goals for maturity. So if you kind of skip over chapter 4, and I want you to see in verse 12, he's speaking of Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. That's what I wanted you to see. Our goal is maturity and assurance on the interior that we are his. We are seated with him. Our hearts are set on the things from the heavens, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Setting my mind on things above, not only earthly things. For I have died, and my life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is my life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's back to chapter 3, the beginning. I just personalized it. The reason I personalize it is because it can become your prayer as well. It can become your declaration. So that, yes, I was chosen by God, verse 12. I am dearly loved. And as I clothe myself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, I will bear with all of these that are having a hard time with me, or that I'm having a hard time with them. And bear with each other, forgiving maybe once or twice. But in reality, we should be able to forgive on a regular basis. Because you see, we were forgiven by him. And he gave us a standard that we can't deny. So tonight, if you'll just bow your heads and close your eyes, Holy Spirit, I'm asking for this word to be alive in them today. And that I'm asking for you to pour out your love upon them, which binds all of these attributes of your spirit to each one, so that they can go forward along with those that are struggling and bear them up and lift them up and intercede for them, so that they will be able to be maturing in the way they think, the way they act, and the way they react. Because Father, you don't want more babies. You want us to become adults in Christ, adults in the anointing, filled with compassion, filled with kindness and humility and gentleness, and to bear with each other when we fall short. Let your grace now flood every heart, including those that are struggling. I ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.